Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
Today, Monday, May 12th, is the feast of Saints Nereus and Achilleus, martyrs. And these are today's headlines. Pope Leo tells journalists that news media should foster peace and disarm words. In a phone call with President Zelensky, the Holy Father expresses his hope for just and lasting peace in Ukraine. And Hamas says they will release the last American hostage being held in Gaza. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Our top story, Pope Leo XIV met today with media professionals in Rome to cover the papal election just 4 days after the conclusion of the conclave. The Holy Father urged news media and all communicators to serve truth and promote peace, saying we must disarm our words and our world. Devin Watkins has this report.
Only 4 days have passed since his election to the papacy, and Pope Leo XIV made it a point to hold an audience with the men and women who were in Rome to report on the death of Pope Francis, the conclave, and the first days of his own ministry. As he began his audience with media professionals on Monday, the American-born Pope responded to sustained applause with a bit of humor.
They say when they clap at the beginning, it doesn't matter much. If you're still awake at the end and you still want to applaud, thank you very much.
Pope Leo then switched to Italian to call for communication to foster peace by caring for how people and events are presented. He invited media professionals to promote a different kind of communication, one that does not seek consensus at all costs, does not use aggressive words, does not follow the culture of competition, and never separates the search for truth from the love with which we must humbly seek it.
Il modo in cui comunichiamo è di fondamentale importanza.
The way we communicate is of fundamental importance, he said. We must say no to the war of words and images, and we must reject the paradigm of war. Pope Leo XIV thanked reporters for their service to the truth, especially their work to present the Church in the beauty of Christ's love during the recent interregnum period. Our times, he concluded, present many issues that are difficult to recount and navigate, noting that they call each of us to overcome mediocrity. He said the modern world can leave us lost in a confusion of loveless languages that are often ideological or partisan.
La comunicazione, infatti, non è solo trasmissione di informazione.
Communication is not only the transmission of information, he said, but it is also the creation of a culture of human and digital environments that become spaces for dialogue and discussion. In conclusion, Pope Leo XIV said media professionals must help humanity disarm words, and we will help disarm the world. I'm Devin Watkins.
Meanwhile, with the war in Ukraine ongoing, Pope Leo XIV and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky have spoken by phone, according to the director of the Holy See Press Office, speaking on Monday. Deborah Castellana-Lubov tells us more.
Pope Leo XIV and Ukraine's President Zelensky have spoken by phone, according to the director of the Holy See Press Office, Matteo Bruni. The phone call follows the Pope's appeal for peace in Ukraine during his Regina Caeli address from the Central Loggia of St. Peter's Basilica on Sunday afternoon.
Porto nel mio cuore le sofferenze dell'amato popolo ucraino.
During his remarks following the midday prayer, the Pope said, I carry in my heart the suffering of the beloved Ukrainian people, urging that every effort be made to reach a true, just, and lasting peace as soon as possible. May all prisoners, he said, be freed, and may all children be returned to their families. The Pope had recalled that on the 8th of May, the immense tragedy of the Second World War came to an end 80 years earlier, after causing 60 million deaths. He then appealed that there never again be war, making specific appeals for Ukraine, Gaza, and on the India-Pakistan border. The war in Ukraine remains intense. Ukrainian authorities reported that Russia launched over 100 drones overnight, damaging civilian infrastructure and injuring at least 7 people. European leaders, including those from Germany, France, Spain, Poland, and the UK, along with the EU, intensified calls for an immediate 30-day unconditional ceasefire in Ukraine, warning Russia to respond by the end of the day or face new sanctions, particularly targeting banking and energy sectors. Following the conversation with the Pope, President Zelensky posted on X about his first conversation with Pope Leo, saying he thanked the Pope for his support of Ukraine. "We deeply value," he noted, "his words about the need to achieve a just and lasting peace for our country and for the release of prisoners." He also noted they discussed the thousands of Ukrainian children deported by Russia. Ukraine, the president underscored, counts on the Vatican's assistance in bringing them home to their families. In addition, he said that he informed the Pope about the agreement between Ukraine and their partners that starting today, a full and unconditional ceasefire for at least a 30-day period must begin. President Zelensky added that he reaffirmed Ukraine's readiness for further negotiations in any format, including direct talks. In this spirit, he said, "Ukraine wants to end this war and is doing everything to achieve that." I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
Elsewhere in world news, Hamas has announced the release of the last known living American hostage in Gaza. The head of Hamas's negotiating team stated they have been in talks with the United States that have showed high positivity. As Kelsey Gussie reports, Hamas has stated this release is one of the steps towards a ceasefire.
Eden Alexander will be released after 583 days as a hostage in Gaza. Hamas has announced his release is part of the steps towards a ceasefire that includes opening the crossings into Gaza and enabling humanitarian aid to enter the enclave following an Israeli blockade which has lasted 70 days. Palestinian politician Khalil al-Hayya described this step as a confirmation of readiness to immediately start intensive negotiations and make serious efforts to reach a final agreement to stop the war. The Israeli Prime Minister's office has stated it has not committed to any ceasefire, but only a safe passage to free the last known living American hostage, who could be freed as early as Monday or Tuesday. A senior Hamas official reported that the Palestinian armed group was holding direct negotiations with a U.S. administration official in Qatar, and that this release is meant to be a goodwill gesture ahead of the U.S. president's visit to the Middle East on Tuesday, May 13th. Meanwhile, the situation in Gaza is devastating, as there is an imminent risk of famine, a growing potential for an outbreak of deadly epidemics, and agriculture is on the brink of total collapse. The Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations continues to stress the importance of lifting these blockades to allow for humanitarian aid to enter the Gaza Strip. Since the beginning of the year, the UN has reported that in Gaza there have been about 10,000 cases of acute malnutrition among children, as food prices have skyrocketed by as much as 1,400%. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
The banned Kurdish group, the PKK, which has waged a 40-year insurgency against Turkey, is now reportedly disbanding. With more on that story, here's Nathan Morley.
The PKK, or the Kurdistan Workers' Party, has waged an armed struggle against the Turkish state since 1984. Earlier, it announced its dissolution, marking the end of a conflict which has spanned nearly five decades. In a statement released by the Firat news agency, the ANF, which is close to the group, the PKK declared its intent to cease hostilities. The war, which is centered in southeastern Turkey, has led to an estimated 40,000 deaths, mostly Kurds, along with the displacement of millions and the destruction of thousands of villages. The decision comes 2 months after the PKK founder, Abdullah Öcalan, who's been imprisoned for 26 years on an island in the Sea of Marmara, urged his movement to lay down their arms. His call, which was made public on February the 27th, surprised analysts and the wider public. The move follows a mediation initiative launched in the fall by Devlet Bahali, the ultra-nationalist ally of the Turkish President Tayyip Erdogan. Mr. Erdogan needs the support of pro-Kurdish political parties if he's to be able to run again in Turkey's next presidential election, which is due in 2028. The decision to disband was an important step towards a terror-free Turkey, and the process will be monitored by state institutions, according to a spokesman for Mr. Erdogan. The PKK, which has been banned as a terrorist group in Turkey, the EU, UK and US, said it had completed its historical mission and would end the method of its armed struggle. It said from now on the Kurdish issue can be resolved through democratic politics. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
And finally, beginning today, Monday, May 12th, and continuing it through Wednesday, the 14th, the Vatican is hosting the Jubilee of the Eastern Catholic Churches, which features a series of divine liturgies celebrated in various Eastern rites. Services are taking place in the papal basilicas of St. Peter's and St. Mary Major, with participation of members of the lay faithful, patriarchs, major archbishops, metropolitans, and other representatives of the Eastern Catholic Churches in communion with Rome. Joseph Tulloch has more.
The faithful and the hierarchy of the Eastern Catholic Churches are being honoured at the Vatican from the 12th to the 14th of May. Numerous celebrations are taking place over the next 3 days. A divine liturgy in the Ethiopian Rite was celebrated today at 8:30 a.m. in St. Peter's Basilica, led by the churches of Ethiopia and Eritrea. Then, at 1 p.m, the Armenian Church celebrated the divine liturgy in the Armenian Rite in the Basilica of St. Mary Major. On May the 13th, the celebrations will return to St. Peter's with, at 1 p.m, a divine liturgy in the East Syriac Rite with the anaphora of Adai and Mari, the ancient Eucharistic prayer of the Church of the East. That celebration will be led by the Chaldean and Syro-Malabar churches. In the evening at 6:45 p.m, St. Mary Major will host Vespers organised by the Syriac Catholic Church, the Maronite Church and the Syro-Malabar Church. The final day of the Eastern Church's Jubilee will be Wednesday, May the 14th. In the morning, there will be an audience with Pope Leo the 14th. That'll be at 10 a.m. in the Paul VI Hall in the Vatican, and will be followed by Divine Liturgy in the Byzantine Rite at 2 p.m. There are 23 Eastern Catholic Churches, or sui juris churches, in full communion with the Pope, and they preserve distinct rites, theology and traditions associated with Eastern Christianity. These Eastern Catholic churches originated from historical reunions between Eastern Orthodox communities and the Roman Catholic Church, particularly in the early modern period. Geographically, they're located in Eastern Europe, the Middle East, India and parts of Africa, with diaspora communities worldwide. I'm Joseph Tulloch.
And that brings us just about to the end of today's edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we do invite you to visit our Vatican News website at www.vaticannews.va. Once again, that's www.vaticannews.va. You can also get all the latest updates on the beginning of Pope Leo XIV's pontificate, with lots of pictures and videos on our social media accounts, including Facebook, Instagram, X, and YouTube. Many thanks to our sound engineer in studio in the Vatican. I'm Christopher Wells.